Amen and amen. We are going through the book of Genesis, and we're Jacob and Laban and Rachel and Leah and all of the kids and the handmaids and all the girlfriends and all of the other things. I tell you what, this part of Genesis here is as much as a soap opera as you would ever want to read. I mean, it is more than General Hospital. It is the ups and downs and twists and turns and selling him for mandrakes. And last week we found mandrakes was a little bit different than what we thought it was. I always thought a mandrake was an aphrodisiac, right? That's what I thought mandrake was, but it's not. It's a May apple. That's what we would call them here in the States, a May apple. Oh, Gayla just popped on. And so a May apple is a very bitter fruit, and it's made for your digestive system and some other things that work on the inside. So I don't know why Rachel wanted them so bad, but it must have been something she ate, you know? It wasn't feeling too good. And, you know, God gives us all of these things. And the problem is often we listen to what somebody else said about it, and we just roll that into what we think it is. I have a herbal medicine book, right? An encyclopedia has all kinds of different herbs and roots and leaves and all the stuff that it's made for. And I pulled it out last week to look at what mandrakes were. And when I found out, I was blown away. You know, it's a nothing I thought that it was. And often when you do a little bit deeper research, you find out what you thought things were because you were told that by some intelligent person. You find out that that's not what it really is, you know. And so it's always good to go back and check and double check and look through the Word of God. And so after those things, we are in verse 18 and following of chapter 30. And what has happened here is Leah had quit bearing children, and then she started bearing children again, and Jacob was granting her relationships, and she was having these children. Verse 18, and Leah said, God hath given me my hire. This is right after he was purchased by mandrakes. It sounds so weird that your wife would sell you for vegetables. You know, I guess that really depends on how bad your stomach hurts, I guess. But anyhow, so Rachel sold him for mandrakes to Leah that Reuben had gathered. All right, so, and Leah said, God hath given me mine hire. That was the hire that it was. I have given him my maiden to be my husband, and she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have bore him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. And Dinah, we will find out, that's our dog's name, yeah. And but Dinah, we'll find out, really has a huge part to play in a couple chapters from here. And but keep her mind. This is interesting. This is the only daughter that is mentioned out of Jacob's children. I don't know if he had any more. Scripture doesn't say. I do know that it does ring in on this daughter right here. When we get further on and we'll talk about that further on. And so, because I do that sometimes. I get talking, I'm saying, well, I know where it goes, but those are spoiler alerts, right? So, spoiler alert.
There's some reason the daughters rejoiced or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There had to be some.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we get to that point here in a couple chapters, Lord willing, we might even get there tonight. Kind of doubt it. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son. And God hath given, taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph. And again, you know who Joseph is. He's one of the favorite sons of Jacob, as we go on a little bit further through Scripture. The Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away, that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee. Let me go, for thou knowest my service, which I have done unto thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I find favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that God hath blessed me for thy sake. Think about that, that you are so in tune with God that when you're at work and you say, boss man, I need to go do something else. I really feel God's called me to do something else. And your boss says, you know, I can tell since you've been with me, God has really favored this business. We're exporting more, we're importing more, there's more. I have really been fruitful, so just hang out just a little bit longer, if you don't mind. Now, that's in our time. In his time, there's other things that Laban is thinking about. You know, he has his daughters, he has his grandchildren, he has his herds. Laban, remember, is a trickster just like Jacob was a trickster. We're going to find out that Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times during the time that he was with them. And he serves them for some 20 years. It says 14 years for his daughters and then another 6 years for the flocks. And we'll see that here in another chapter or so. And as we look at that, and so, but Laban is seeing the worth that a man of God inside of the company helps. Long as you're being blessed by God. If you're walking with God and doing the things that God has called you to, and I know, because in my mind I'm saying, I know Jacob, right? And he's not up and up either, right? But nevertheless, God is blessing the company because of the saint that is there, the man that's called by God. And he's blessing Laban because of the workmanship of Jacob. He was a good hire, right? He was a good hire and a good son-in-law up until this point, or up until the next points. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. All right, so Laban's saying, listen, stay with me. Name your price, son. Name your price, and I'll make sure it's done. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee. This is Jacob speaking to Laban. How thy cattle was with me. And excuse me, for it was little which thou hast before I came, and now increased unto multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. I like that, church. Don't want anything from the world. If I get something, I want to earn it, all right? I want to earn it. I'm going to tell you what my wages are, but I don't want you to give me anything. Remember when, we've talked about this several times, when Abraham came from the Battle of the Kings and the king of Sodom said that I want to pay you. And Abraham said, listen, I don't want nothing from you except you pay for the men who went with me to war to take care of their provisions. But as for me, I don't want nothing. Then he met Melchizedek. We talked about that last night in men's group. And then the Lord said, after he met with Melchizedek, and different story, the Lord said, fear not, Abram, I will be your shield and your buckler and your great reward, right? So as you refuse the dainties of the world, the free stuff of the world, and you say, I'm going to work for it, God says, I'll bless you for that. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. You're my person. I am going to walk with you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to bring you from where you are to where you need to be. God is faithful, even though we're going to find out Laban isn't, and even Jacob is a little trickster himself. And so, if thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats. And for such and of such shall be my hire. Notice he didn't ask for the white ones, which would in that time, I looked it up, in that time the white animals were had a higher value than the spotted and the speckled. So if you were bringing your sheep or your flocks to market, they'd say, all of the white ones over here, and they're worth more because they're better for sack. I don't know why they would do it. But the speckled and the spotted and the darker ones, they didn't pay as much for.
So I think that might be blemish.
Yeah, blemish. Thank you. Yes. Blemish. I like that better. You know, because we're in this politically correct world now, and they say, well, it's blemish. Well, they... Anyhow, you know what the world would say. But God said, I like what Jacob did because he didn't ask for the best. He said, I'm going to take all the blemished. I want all your rusty trucks, right? I want all anything that you wouldn't really be desiring anyhow, Laban. I'll take all of that, all right? That'll be my hire. I'll take the least of what you have. So shall my righteous answer for me in the time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. Okay, so they struck the deal. All right, if Jacob, if I find any of my sheep among yours, we're going to call it stolen, right? And the difference is going to be all of yours are going to be flawed, all of mine are going to be better, right? And so Jacob is such a cunning guy. We're going to get into this thing here. Let me go on and read. And he removed that day the goats that were ring-shanked and spotted, and the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. 3 days' journey, again, that's an important number. 3 days, you find 3 days often in the Bible. I don't know if it's a safe spot. There's probably the numerology guy over there can tell us a thing or two about three. I know that it's far enough away that you just don't drop in and visit, right? All right. So, all right. Jacob said, I'm going to come 3 days. I'm going to tend to your flocks. I'm going to come back. My family's going to tend to my flocks. But it's 3 days dividing the two. And that way we'll have a clear difference between your house and my house. And so he set 3 journeys between them, verse 37. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of hazel, and of chestnut, and he peeled white strikes in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutter, and watering troughs, and when the flocks came and drank, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle, ring-shanked, and speckled, and spotted. I don't know how Jacob knew this recipe. I dare say that God told him some things about how to do this, because pretty soon we're going to see selective breeding. Right? So Jacob knew that if he took these three kinds of woods, hazelnut, chestnut, and poplar, thank you, and poplar, and he peeled them to where it's white. You know, there's the bark, and then there's that little membrane, and then there's the wood. So he just peeled the bark off to where that membrane is. I know in other trees, like the willow tree, that's where the aspirin, that thing grows on the inside of that cadmium layer. Thank you, Lord, for that. Inside the cadmium layer. So there's the bark, there's the cadmium layer, and then there's the wood underneath that. So inside of that place where all the water comes up from the roots to the leaves and all that, that's where all the nutrients and everything that are in there. So Jacob knew that if he took these three types of wood and stripped them down to that cadmium layer and let the animals drink there, that they would come out with flaws, that they would be less than perfect. They wouldn't be white. They'd be speckled and ring-shanked and spotted and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how he knew that, but he knew it. Because, yep.
I
I don't think, I'm not saying this correctly, don't think he stripped them completely, though.
No, no, uh-uh. It doesn't say...
Because he pulled, in 35 it says, he goes that were rings straight.
Yeah.
So had stripes. Almost like a zebra.
Yeah.
So they did that same thing with rods.
Mm-hmm.
Just peeled here and then
yep, and here and here.
Strip of the whole thing.
Yes. Well, you can't pull the whole thing, because if you peel the whole thing, you're going to pull all the cadmium layer off of it. Just like if you're doing a pine tar extract from a pine tree, or tapping in a tree for sap for making syrup. Same type of ideal is going there. If you can't go all the way around it, because then you kill the whole thing.
Yeah.
But you're right. So he'd just take bits off and the bark would hold it. You'd pull it off here. The bark would hold it. You'd pull it off there. And so in that, it was changing. It did something inside of the animals so that when they bred, they didn't have pure white offspring. It made them come out speckled and spotted and ringed. Yeah, and ringed. And so ring shanked. And verse 41, and it came to pass that whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. And the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. Selective breeding, all right? And so, it's intelligent. It sounds a little bit underhanded, but it's just really intelligent. So he said, all right, I know what my payment's going to be. I know that Laban's less than honest with me. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. God gave me the recipe to make... How to do? Yeah,
I'd like to talk to like a cattle herder.
Yes.
Or something. This has always been a mystery to me.
Yeah.
They conceived.
Right.
They conceived, and I don't know what was that was. I don't know. Did it hasten that too? Did it promote the conception too?
I don't know. What I do know from Mutual of Omaha and Wild Kingdom. Right. When the cows come in and the bulls come behind them and the cows bend over to get a drink, it opens up a whole avenue for the bulls.
Yes.
Right? And so your head's down, you know. And so anyhow, not trying to get too veterinarian on you, but that's how a lot of things still breed today in the natural. You know, because if not, even in the woods, right? A buck is chasing does until the doe stops and put her head down. That buck doesn't stand a chance.
Or
he gets hit by a car, yeah. But you get new cars out of it, yeah. And so anyhow, this idea that he had of taking the lesser, then he took some chemicals that are found in nature to increase the lesser. And then he took the stronger and bred it with the lesser so that the lesser became the stronger and still spotted and spangled and ringed. Right?
But doesn't, like, when you read 31:12, it lift up thine eyes and see all the rams which sleep upon the cattle are ringed straight and speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee.
Yeah.
In other words, I feel like that's kind of saying that
God yes.
Blessed.
Oh, yeah. I believe that, yes.
The treatment of Laban.
Yes. God saw that the Laban was not being fair, and so the Holy Spirit, God had to tell Jacob, and that's where I was going to get to this, that God had to give this formula to Jacob. I don't think it was something that you just know.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you don't wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to take some chestnut, and I'm going to take some hazel, and I'm going to take some poplar, and I'm going to strip it down, put it into the water to make things different. And then he has a dream about it. I think that's where you were reading from, how he saw it in a dream when he talks to his wives about it here in a minute. And so when they're feeble, and the men increased exceedingly that had much cattle, and the maidservants and manservants and cattle, camels and asses. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. You can tell by the countenance of somebody how they treat you. All right. When everything was going Laban's way, come here, son. Sit at my right hand. Man, you are so good. I love you so much. Look at what a good husband provider you are for my wife, for my children, right? Until it started getting into Laban's wallet a little bit. And he's saying, hey, Jake, the deal that we made, all of a sudden, all of the best of the stock, the strong, beefy ones, they're on your side. And I'm left with these scraggly, you know, they got the right coat, but the inside of it is all wrong. Selective breeding. So God gave this idea, I have to say that God gave this idea, because I don't think it's a natural thing that just would come up into somebody's mind. I might be wrong, you know, I've been wrong before, but as you said, a little bit later, he said that I saw this dream of how to do these things, and as he talks to his wives. And so, verse 3, and the Lord said to Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called to Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it was not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And know that with all my power I have served thy father. I believe that is true, that when Jacob was there, he served with all of his might. First, he wanted Rachel for 7 years, and he served with vigor for her, all right? And then he was cheated because Laban changed his wages and gave him the one with pretty eyes, you know? And so, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago, nothing wrong with pretty eyes. But Rachel had all the other pretty stuff, all right? So he served again for another week, and he received Rachel. And then he served for another 7 years after he received Rachel. And then he serves, we're going to find out, for another 6 years for all of the cattle and stuff. So he ends up serving for 20 years in this. We'll get to that here in just a moment. In verse 6, and you know what, with all my power I served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring shanked shall be thy wages, then bear all the cattle ring shanked. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them unto to me. And it came to pass, at the time that the cattle conceived, I lifted up mine eyes and I saw in a dream, and behold, rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-shanked and speckled and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, and saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes, and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-shanked and speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethuel, where thou anointed the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise and get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Back in chapter 28, y'all remember when Jacob went to sleep, and he saw angelic host, that the portal to the, what we talked about is the fourth dimension, where the angels come, and they were coming up and down. It's called Jacob's ladder, but like I said last week, I don't believe that it was like a fireman's ladder that we see, and they were like climbing like this. It was something that went up into the air, and the angelic hosts were able to walk up and down in that. And I guess a ladder, if you saw it, that would be I don't know if you'd have another word for it, you know, in that time or even in our time. And so he saw that, and he said that this is indeed the house of God, Bethel. That Beth is house, and El is God, the house of God. And then when he woke up in the morning, he took the pillow that was a stone, and the stones that was his pillow, and he built an altar, and he poured oil over it, and he made a vow to God. And he said, God, if you will be with me, if you'll travel with me through this land, and when I come back, then you will be my God. That was the vow that Jacob made to God. Now, God is reminding Jacob the vow that he made to him some 20 years ago. God is saying, listen, Jake, remember 20 years ago, you said you would do this if I did that. Well, I've held up my side of the bargain. You need to trust me now and head back to the land of your father. And verse 14, and Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion our inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's, now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. And Jacob rose. And guys, it's great to have a woman that'll support you. And it's really good to have two and two handmaids, you know, that'll support you. You know, it's I just had to say that. They don't share. And they really have it over the time. They haven't shared well. And so, but anyhow, right now they're all on agreement. All right, Rachel and Leah, yeah, our dad is a crook. He took all of our inheritance and he squandered it. There's nothing left for us there anyhow. We're your wives, and whatever God says to you, let's do it. All right, and so they gather up their stuff. So Jacob arose and set his sons, verse 27, his wives on camels. And he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, and the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padamaram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images. Now, I think of this whole relationship with Rachel. I know that she's important to Jacob, but look at what Rachel did her whole life with him. She's been less than honest to start out, okay? Here it says that she stole from her father, and she didn't tell Jacob about, and she stole idols that Jacob wouldn't want her to have anyhow. She sold Jacob first. She sold him for some vegetables that are bitter to eat, right? So she pimped him out. There, I can't think of another word for it. So Leah said, I want to sleep with my husband. Rachel had authority, and she said, well, I'll let you sleep with my husband if you give me some mandrakes. That's right. That is what it is, right? You pay me and you can have him. So she paid him, and he went, and she got pregnant twice, three times, a lady. So anyhow,
it's contrary to human nature.
Amen. It is.
That's not the way it's done.
And then she sneaks in and she steals images, idols from her dad, and hides them from her husband. All right. And then she lies to her father and to Jacob about it.
She's cool.
Leah never did any of those things. Leah had soft eyes. All she wanted to do was really have a right relationship with her husband. Right? She didn't want Rachel in the middle of it. But Jacob, out of the lust of his heart, wanted Rachel because she was good to look at. Leah just had soft eyes. Remember, it says that Rachel was richly endowed. So I'm taking that she was richly endowed. She was good to look at. She was favorable to the eyes. But when you look at what she did and the way that she worked and moved around, you know, I don't know. I think the better choice was Leah.
God blessed.
Both of them.
Right.
Both of them.
Yeah.
But through Joseph.
Amen. Yeah. And he blessed Leah several times. I think, what, is five sons? And then Rachel gets six sons, right? Well, five sons before Rachel envies right? And then she gets in Jacob's face and says, Jacob, I'm dying. You got to get me pregnant. And Jacob says, it's not my job, right? You got to talk to God about that. Man. And then she says, well, take my handmaid, Bilha, right? And maybe she can give birth on my lap. And so that's how that happens. Rachel doesn't give birth until Joseph of her own, right? And that's the 11th out of 12 sons. Still got one more in the hanger. Just we haven't got to that yet. And so Benjamin, he was a magician. Guitar player. My name is Benjamin. Benjamin, yeah. And so anyhow, but you look at that, and as I was thinking about that today, all the things that Rachel did that Leah never did to Jacob, right? She never confronted him. She never said, she was never in, well, envious. She was envious because she was the first wife. And any of you ladies out here, if your husband was married to a different woman after he was married to you, and wouldn't that kind of bother you just a little bit, you know? And I know that the cultures and stuff are different than what they are now, but I think human nature is the same. You know, human nature is the same. That's my husband. You know, and so, and I've got to buy him with my son's mandrakes. Something's not right. You know, something's not right here. And so anyhow, those were just some thoughts that were in my mind about that. I don't know if you ever laid it in your head that way. But anyhow, Rachel had stolen the images in verse 19 that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban, the Syrian, in that he told him that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and he passed over the river and set his face toward Mount Gilead. Thank you. And it was told Laban on the third day. There's the third day again. So he's 3 days away from him. Now he's 3 days out. So that's 6 days travel at least. At this point in time. And Jacob was fled, and he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him at the Mount, would you call it Gilead?
Gilead.
All right. Gilead. All right. And God, so get in your mind here. Laban is angry, right? He's mad enough to head out for 7 days and catch this rascal that ran off with his daughters and with his grandchildren. And what Laban is thinking is his rightful flock.
And his idols.
And his idols. Oh, and his idols. That's right. Don't forget the idols. All right. His worship toys. All right. So all of that is gone from him. He's there and he's angry. And he has the power and the manpower to overtake Jacob and do him great harm. He could have wiped him out. But God, amen? And so in verse 24, and God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, neither good nor bad. All right? God stood up for Jacob. God went to Laban in the middle of the night and said, son, don't do nothing foolish. Don't do anything foolish. He's my man. That's my man. Jacob's my man. He didn't tell him he's going to become Israel, but pretty soon he will become Israel. All right? He's my man. Don't touch him. Don't say, you can talk to him, but don't say anything good. Don't offend him. Don't say anything good. Don't say anything bad. Go there neutrally. Right?
Did he say not to talk to him?
No, he didn't say not talk to him. He said, take heed
that thou not speak to Jacob, either good or bad.
Right. Yeah. Don't speak. Oh, yeah. Well, don't speak. Well, he breaks that.
Yeah, I know. I was saying God told him not to even
talk to him. Not to even talk to him. Well, yeah. Yeah. Or is it don't speak to him good or bad?
Yeah.
You know? Be neutral. I think, I don't think, right.
Speak not to Jacob, either
good or bad. Right. So when you meet him, you can talk to him. I mean, he's, you're the granddad and the father there,
right?
Yeah, How do you speak neutral? Well, let's talk about sports. We could talk about how you stole stuff from me, but you know, there's a good sporting game. You should have saw that croquet game the other day. Yeah, talk about the weather. You know, how's your camel hanging? You know, you got two humps. I hope your camels always have two humps. May the bird of paradise fly up your nose.
That's okay, but I don't read it that way.
Okay, yeah, and I'm with you because it could be both ways. But if he did break God's commandment by talking to Jacob, then God had every right to slay him right then, and he didn't. You know, so God did say, "Don't speak to him, neither good nor evil."
But God doesn't exercise judgment.
True.
Right away.
Yep.
But it could be what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just didn't ever read it that way.
Right. I hear you. And it could be the other way, you know. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead, right? Gilead. Anyhow.
It's Gilead later?
Okay.
Yeah, 47.
All right, beautiful. And Laban said to Jacob, see, right there he was breaking God's commandment. Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen?
And he's definitely talking to Jacob.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah, he's doing everything that God told him not to do in the dream, he's doing, you know. And so you have stolen away unawares to me and carried my daughters as captives and taken with a sword. Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with myrrh and with songs and with the singing and a harp, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast done foolishly in so doing. I kind of understand where he's at, right? I mean, just imagine your family, right? And family back then was a lot different than what it is now. They were tight. They needed one another. And all of a sudden, you wake up one day, and all of your grandkids, your daughters, all your cattle, and your idols are gone. You know? They're just gone. You would be a little angry, and especially when you thought it was yours. Have you ever thought that somebody stole something from you even when it wasn't yours? Right? That's really not yours, but it was hanging around you for a while, so you just thought it was yours. Right? It felt like it was mine, but it's really not. And then the rightful owner takes it away. You borrow a man's lawnmower, right? You use it for 4 years. You think it's yours. And then the guy who owns the lawnmower says, hey, in the middle of the night, I'm going to come take my lawnmower. I'm going to take it away. Same ideal, right? And I imagine the same emotions would flare up from that. And so anyhow, verse 28, and thou hast not suffered me to kiss my sons, my daughters, and that thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spoke to me yesternight. I like that instead of last night, yesternight. I think I'm going to start using that. What you doing yesternight? You know, so anyhow.
It's interesting you recognize who is speaking to
him. Amen. Absolutely. Well, God.
Didn't just say God, but he said the God of your father.
Isn't that the thing about God? When God speaks to you, there's never a question who's talking. When God really talks to you, you know that it's God. And you know that it's the real God. It was the God of your fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and soon to be the God of Jacob, quick as Jacob wrestles with him for a little bit. And so it's after 8, but it's such a good an account, right? It's such a good account. Yeah, it really is. But when you're looking at this, and, you know, I was talking to my grandson a little bit today, and instead of calling it a story, because it's not a story, it's an account. A story is Goldilocks and the Seven Drawers, or whatever it is, Cinderella and her 12 pairs of underwear, or golden slippers, glass slippers. Anyhow, Pinocchio's. Or I feel like Biden
that
right now.
That was a good story. Yep.
You can find it on anyhow, folks, I love you, and we'll pick up this next week. We'll back up a little bit and get to where Laban catches up with him. Well, actually, next week I won't be speaking because we will have that missionary that's heading to South Africa come and explain her mission to us on the 7th. And so praise God. Amen. Who wants to close in prayer?
Dear Grace Heavenly Father, we are Lord, you're the God of your word.
Amen.
The God of Bethel. And Jacob, I guess even the seriousness of making a vow.
Yeah.
Jacob vowed to you, and Lord, you upheld your word, and you kept your promise, Lord, and we see the fruition of it through this whole story of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac. Your promise is kept. Your choice was made. You chose this people, this family, and you chose it to bring about the Messiah, our Savior. And Lord, so, Lord, what can we thank you, Lord, for keeping your word, because the nations of the world, I myself and all of us in here are blessed because you're the God of Bethel, Lord. Mm-hmm. You're the house of God. You keep your word, and so thankful for it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that continue to bless us with more understanding and peel back the blindness of our own hearts, Father, and reveal more of your riches and your promises and your word, Lord, to us. And I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a strong week.
Thank you.